seek the Lord. And we're leading up to that time now. When we think of eating from the table of God, we think of Jesus in John chapter 4, who said, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work." And Jesus went all around Galilee, all around Jerusalem, doing his Father's work, empowered with his Father's presence, fulfilling what he said, "I heard my Father say," or doing what he saw his Father doing. So much so that his disciples one day said, "Lord, teach us how to pray, like John taught his disciples." And Jesus began by teaching them that your Heavenly Father already knows everything that you need. It doesn't matter that you have all the words, lots of words, the right words. You're talking to Father who is in heaven. "Hallowed be your name." 6 petitions. And today we look at, "Lord, let your name be hallowed." We're praying to our Father who cares about his children, our Father who is in heaven and has the power and might to achieve. And we're asking him 6 things. "Father, let your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So today we look at our first request. Lord, let your name be hallowed. Father who dwells in heaven, with all power available to you, bring about your name being hallowed. I want to address this with 5 questions. Hallowed be your name. First of all, what's in a name anyway? For Hebrew people, or the people of Jesus' day, a person's name is almost equal to the person himself. A person's name didn't get changed all the time like we might hear. They didn't know one another by letters of reference or criminal record checks to make sure they were okay. Your name was you. Your name was your reputation. Your name was known as a trustworthy person or a not trustworthy person, a strong person or a weak person, a gullible person or a person who knew his direction. Your name mattered. Your name didn't just get changed. And the honor of your name was almost equivalent to the honor of yourself. So when the Bible speaks of his name, or for his name's sake, it is speaking of God himself, his person, his character, his nature. Let me give you a couple of examples from Scripture. You might remember King David telling his men, "Go up and greet Nabal in my name." They were taking the character, the reputation, the presence of the mighty David to this Nabal, asking him for some bread. "Go up and greet him in my name." Or from Psalms, "Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Or the Lord speaking and saying, "The prophets who prophesy in my name." He's talking about when the prophets prophesy in my name, they're prophesying as if I were speaking, as if my reputation were at stake, as if it was my truth being presented. And when the prophets prophesied with integrity, they were blessed. When they prophesied lies in my name, God's wrath came upon them. One of the prayers of Solomon, "When the foreigner who comes from a distant land, because of your great name, O Lord," praying over the dedication of his temple. Jesus, "In my name they will drive out demons, speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick." In my name, in my character, presence, reality, reputation set before the demonic force, set before sickness, He will prevail. His people will put His name in front of these obstacles. Jesus declaring that in the last days, many will come in My name, claiming, I am the Christ. And so the biblical thought of name was much deeper, much more important than how we treat it today, much more significant. Secondly, we're asking, Father, hallowed be Your name. What does it mean to hallow His name? What is it that we're asking God to do? We often think of this as me praising God. And we think we should spend some time praising God, hallowing His name. That may be, but technically, Jesus is giving us the first request of something that we are asking Him to do. We are coming before Father, saying, Father, let Your name be hallowed. It means, let Your name be set apart from all others. Let it be separated and stand alone and above all. Let it be revered. Let it be feared. Let it be honored. Let it be looked up to. Let it be made famous. But You do it, God. You do it, God. The first three requests are all about You, You, You. And the last three requests are give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. But the first three are You, Lord, You, Lord, You, Lord. Do this. Glorify Your name. Hallow Your name. Let Your name be set apart as famous. We're saying, Lord, here on earth, do as You are in heaven. Let Your name be feared. Let Your name be honored. Let Your name be set apart here, like You are there. Bring Your character, Your presence, Your awesome nature, Your reputation here in my life, in the same way You are in heaven. God, would You please be God here? The name of the Lord being hallowed. Psalms 46 describes the Lord's reputation being observed, being seen, and being made famous in the people around the psalmist. He says, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought upon the land. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We know God by His mighty deeds. He has made His name famous. He has made His name exalted. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're praying, do this in Vancouver. Do this in my home. Do this here, that You might be exalted in my family, in my dwelling place, in my workplace. J.I. Packer puts it this way in his book, Growing in Christ. Packer says, hallowing God's name requires praise for the goodness and greatness of His redemptive work. We do not save ourselves, neither the Father's saving grace, nor the Son's saving work, nor our own saving faith originate with us. All is God's gift. Salvation, first to last, is from the Lord. The hallowing of God's name requires us to acknowledge this and to praise Him for all of it. But if the name of God is really hallowed, only when it is separated from all names alone that it is glorified, then we, in this petition, are enjoined to ask not only that God would vindicate His sacred name from all contempt and insult, but also that He would compel the whole human race to reverence His name. On the other hand, the petition implies a wish that all impiety which pollutes this sacred name might perish, and be extinguished, and that everything that obscures or impairs His glory, all detractions and insult might cease, that all blasphemy be suppressed, the divine majesty might be more and more displayed. When we're praying, we're saying, God, thank You for all that You've done. May it be known to the world. May the world see this salvation from first to last. And may You put down the blasphemy of Your name. May everything that taunts You, that talks against You, that gives You a black eye, be taken down from Your name, that Your name alone might be seen as famous. So we pray, Father, in heaven, in great might and power, glorify Your name. Now, if you talk to my Father, I can introduce you as Father. But you might ask me eventually, how about you tell me what His name is? And I would say, Roger. And so we ask a third question. What is our Father's name? Who is He? If we're saying that His name is so significantly representative of Him, what is that name? What is that description of who He is? Actually, 16 different names are used in the Old Testament to describe who He is. In the New Testament, over 100 names are used to describe who Jesus is. It's proper to call Him by any one of those. God our Healer, God our Savior, God the Mighty One. All of these are names by which God declares Himself. But Moses directly asked Him, when he was at the burning bush and about to be sent back to Egypt to bring the children out, God, if Your people ask me who this is that I'm sent by, what shall I tell them? And God says, then tell them, I am who I am. I am who I am. This is what you are to tell the Israelites. I am has sent you. I am has sent you. We'll come back to that in just a moment. A number of years later, Moses goes up the mountain to write down the Ten Commandments. Oh God, show me Your glory. Show me Your presence. Show me Yourself. And God says, you can't see My face, but I'll hide you in the cleft of a rock, and when I pass by, I'll show you Myself. And then we have these words from Exodus chapter 34. The Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with Him and proclaimed His name. What's His name? The Lord. Translated capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Every time you see that in your Bible, it's a translation for Yahweh. I am. And He's going to describe who Yahweh, I am, is. He wants to proclaim His name, Yahweh. His name, the Lord. Verse 6. And as He passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, and yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished. This is the God that we serve. This is the presence of His name. When His name is proclaimed in front of us, we see graciousness, slow to anger, and yet a just God that takes care of the guilty and doesn't let them get away unpunished. Daryl Johnston, in his book 57 Words That Changed the World, writing of the Lord's Prayer, he says, Yahweh means I am. Not just a philosophical sense of I exist, but it means I am in a relational sense. I am there with you and for you. When God says those words, I am, it's He exists and He's present on your behalf, for you, in favor of you. Yahweh is God's covenant name. All the covenants that God has ever made, Darrell Johnson says, have this phrase, I, Yahweh, will be your God, meaning, I will be your God. I will be your God with you and for you, meaning all that makes me to be God, I put at your disposal. All that I am, I give to you. This is where we get the idea of covenant from. This is where the covenant of marriage comes from. When a husband comes to his wife and says, all that I am is yours. I will always be with you to the end. And the wife takes on the identity of that husband and takes his name in our Christian culture, as we take on the reputation of God and His name is upon us. When we speak of the name, we're speaking of I am. We're saying, Father in heaven, you who dwell in great power and might with the ability to do all things, let your name, your presence that's for us, be revered, be set aside, be holy, be made manifest here on earth in Vancouver as it is in heaven. Let me experience the reality of God who is with me and for me now as it is in heaven. God, be near. You do it, God. We're not going to do it. We can't make Him appear. We can't make His power come into being. We can praise Him for all that we see in His name. But God, you do it. Brings us to a fourth question. How does He answer us? Do we have any examples of how God makes His name on earth present? What does the Scripture say about His name on earth? How do we see Him set apart and glorified? It's true, as the psalmist described, we see Him as Almighty Creator. We see Him as His name being set apart before Pharaoh with Moses, or showing His presence at Jericho, and a mighty thunder and the walls come down. Or the time He routed the Ammonites with a thunderstorm and they fled before Him. Or the time that Jehoshaphat and the singers, the choir, came to the brow of the hill singing praises to God. And down below was the enemy armies fighting each other. We see God's might when He single-handedly works His might in the earth. We see how He revealed Himself to Nebuchadnezzar, to King Darius, to King Belshazzar. But most often in Scripture, when God speaks about His name, He speaks about His name being made known through us, His people. Most often in Scripture, God's concern for His name is intimately bound up in His reputation through His people. And we see this beginning in Numbers chapter 6. The priests were instructed to put God's name upon His people like this. How would it be to have God's reputation imparted to you? To have God's power imparted to you? To have God's presence imparted to you? The priests were instructed this way. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. So shall they put My name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. The priestly prayer was, be blessed by Almighty Yahweh. The priestly prayer was, His face, favor, shine upon you. His face be always looking towards you and bring you peace. So shall My name be upon My people. Is that good news? That is wonderful news. that God would give us all of His divine power at our disposal, covenanted together, where suddenly we are His people, He is our God, and He will not separate us from Him. But He envelops us in His character, His reputation, gives us the friendship, gives us the wedding covenant of taking on His name, taking on His identity. What an incredible privilege. All through the Old Testament, we are called the wife of Israel is called the wife of God Almighty. In the New Testament, we are called the bride of Jesus. We take on His identity. We gladly leave behind our name. My wife didn't. But with Jesus, we can gladly leave it behind. Because He's God Almighty. Not some human 19-year-old Dave Borman. Can you imagine giving up your name for Him? But to give up your name, your reputation, for God Almighty. What an incredible thrill. What an incredible honor we have to give up our identity and take on His name. Especially a name that comes to us with blessing, favor, His strength shining upon you. He is for you. He is on your side. And so throughout Scripture we see that His name is upon us. Psalms 23, how famous can it be? Verse 3, He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Why? For His name's sake. What? Because His identity is wrapped up in me. Even if I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, it's His name that's at stake. It's His reputation walking through the shadow of death. It's His person in a weary, dry, and hungry land, wanting to be satisfied by green meadows and a brook to drink from. Does He care? Yes, because He is there. He is present. He is with us. And so, because of His name, because of His glory, He restores my soul. He makes me to lie in green pastures. He guides me in paths of righteousness. He doesn't do it just for us. He does it because it matters to Him and His fame and His reputation. Think about your fame. Think about your reputation. Do you care? If you combed your hair today, you care. It matters to you. If you put on clean clothes today, you must care about your reputation. My son is getting a bit too long in the hair. It bugs me. Because it represents the Bornman family. Time for a haircut, son. Whether you need a real job or not. Our reputations matter to us. God goes so far as to say that He is jealous for His name's sake. He won't let His name be taken by anybody else. He won't let His reputation be abused. Because He is pure. He is holy. He is right. He is awesome. He is almighty. He won't let anybody think He's otherwise. And if something comes to interfere with His name, by golly, He's going to come alongside and restore that person so they look like Him. He's going to come alongside and show them the path of righteousness so they walk like He does. Because He's for Himself. And we've got the privilege of being wrapped right up in that. So when we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Lord, glorify Your name. Make Your name famous. That name that You put upon me, make it famous. That name that I'm wrapped into, You're for me, make it famous." And then it takes the other side. Leviticus chapter 23. "Keep my commands and follow them. I am the Lord. Do not profane my holy name. I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am the Lord who makes you holy and who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord." And so the Lord says to His people, "Don't profane my name. How are they going to not profane His name? By keeping to the paths of righteousness. By walking in His instructions. Because He doesn't want His name profaned. He doesn't want His reputation marred. Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 20, we don't have time for all of it, but beautiful, beautiful passage in Ezekiel 36. Whenever they went out, verse 20, I'll start there. Whenever they went out among the nations, they profaned my holy name. For it was said of them, these are the Lord's people, and yet they had to leave His land. Now he's following a section where he has just explained to the Israelites, because of how you lived in depravity and sin and disobedience, because you lived in such immorality, I had to send the enemies against you to disperse you as punishment. And because of that, the whole world has seen the black eye on my name. You have profaned my name. This is a time of judgment that Ezekiel is talking about. Israel has profaned my name. And then he goes on. This is a beautiful passage. But I had concern for my holy name. Verse 21. I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they had gone. Therefore, tell the house of Israel this. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. It's not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm going to do this. It's because of my holy name, which you profaned, which you messed up. But I'm going to do something. Verse 23. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name that you profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I'm the Lord, declares the Sovereign Lord. When I show myself holy through your... When I show myself holy through you before their eyes. Now, what do you think God's going to do? It's obvious, right? He's going to smote them. He's going to blast them. He's going to cast them into outer darkness. Obviously, they've messed up His name. He's going to give them one bad haircut. Fast. But no, 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 no. That isn't what God does. Because of His sake and His name, this is what He does. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries. I'll bring you back. I'll sprinkle you with clean water and you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from your impurities, from your idols. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to remove the heart of stone from you and give you a heart of flesh. Is that incredible? What kind of a God do we serve? A gracious, compassionate, loving, slow to anger God. A God who has covenanted to be with us and for us. You totally messed up my name. You made me and you look like a mockery in the face of the whole earth. Israel, I'm going to fix this problem. I'm going to fix it powerfully. I'm just going to rip out that messed up heart and give you a new one. I'm going to make you clean with the blood of Jesus. And so He brings us into the time that you and I live in now. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful God we have. Even the psalmist knew this. In chapter 25, you read King David saying, Oh God, forgive my iniquities for your namesake. What kind of faith is that? How did he know that before Jesus? He knew, David knew the nature of God even before it was displayed in Jesus. He knew who God was. And out of his sin, he said, Oh God, forgive me for the sake of your great name. Cleanse me. Make me new because of your fame and your honor and your glory. Now, if you're battling sin right now, I hope that gives you faith. If Satan has attracted you, if Satan has tempted you, if you've been led away from the path of righteousness, or if you're weary and you need your soul to be restored, and you think, oh, God doesn't care about me. I just can't get enough energy to do anything. I'm just not as good as Don Clark here. I just can't pull myself up and do it. It just cuts those lies of Satan right off and says, it's not about all that garbage. It's about what he wants for his own fame. It's about what he wants for his own kingdom. It's about what he wants for his own glory. And whatever the sin is that you're wrestling with, you can be like him and you can say, "Oh God, forgive me," so that you'll be famous. "Oh God, give me a new heart," so that you'll be famous. "Oh God, give me a new mind," so that you'll be famous. What an incredible God we have. God has bound His reputation to His people to display through us His glory. God has bound His reputation to His people so that through us He'll display His glory. Amen. Hallowed be His name. Lord, do what is needed in my life, in my city, in my church, to make You famous. Do whatever it takes, O God, to make You famous. Brings us to the last question. The example of Jesus. How did Jesus walk this out? We could have five more sermons looking at John chapter 17. And you'll see that Jesus prayed out the very things we're talking about. And He didn't stick to just these six petitions. He had a big, long-winded prayer. He didn't make it long because He thought that's how He would get heard. He just had a lot on His heart to pray about. And it's an awesome thing to read, which we won't read today. But in the midst of the book of John, chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus is talking about His upcoming crucifixion with His disciples and with the crowds. And He says this, "Now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?" No. This is the very reason I'm here. Oh, what a line. What a line. No, this is the very reason I came to this hour. This is why I was born in a manger. This is why I came to earth. This is why I spent some time in my dad's carpenter shop. And this is why I've been preaching for the last 3 years. This is why John the Baptist baptized me. This is why the Pharisees hate me. I'm here at this dark, dark hour about to fulfill something awesome. I won't pray, Father, save me from this physical problem that's going to happen in a few days. No, I've got a different prayer. I'll pray, Father, glorify Your name. Oh. Father, here in this moment on Calvary, glorify Your name. And when Jesus prayed that, a voice came from heaven, verse 28, and God answered, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. What was Jesus' example of hallowing His name? Father answered him when he prayed this very prayer, "Lord, forget about my earthly troubles right now. Just be made famous today. Lord, I'm not worried about the fact that I'm sick right now. Just be made famous today. Lord, I'm not worried about the fact that my finances aren't as plentiful as somebody else's, but just be made famous today." What was God's answer? "Yep, I've already been doing that, and I'm going to keep on doing it." How had He already done it? "I have glorified it." Do you remember when Philip in John chapter 14 wanted to see God? And he said to Jesus, "Jesus, show us the Father. Let me see Father. Let me see Daddy. Show us Him." Jesus said, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who's seen me has seen Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work." Jesus, the exact representation of the Father, walking the streets of Galilee, representing compassion, "I am Yahweh, gracious, long-suffering, slow to anger," and yet not ignoring those who are guilty. He read them the riot act sometimes. Jesus, friend of sinners, friend of seekers, friend of fishermen, for years had been walking around, healing the sick, setting free the demon-possessed, giving life to those who had no life. And he says, you want to see Father? Haven't you been watching? Because Father is in me. Father's been living through me this whole time. The example of Jesus saying, be glorified, and God saying, I have been glorified, has been seen for the whole ministry of Jesus, carrying out what it looks like to have Father in heaven wrapped up in His people, displaying His wonder to the world around. Father in heaven wrapped up in His Son, displaying His splendor to those around. Being made famous because His Son was discharging His character. Jesus, I am Yahweh present. And He says to the Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. But God went on to say, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Yes, in a few weeks, the death and resurrection, the mightiest victory over sin and death took place. The victory over temptation, the victory over Satan, the victory over our sinful nature, the victory over all that has come against mankind, the first sheaf was waved before the cross, was waved from the cross before the Lord, saying there's more to come. The rest of the harvest are just like me. Great and mighty things were glorified, but it doesn't stop there. Jesus goes on in John chapter 20. After He had risen from the dead, His disciples, in trembling and fear, for fear of the Jews around them, are hiding out in the room. And Jesus walked in. They weren't in a great, powerful state. They weren't the almighty representation of Yahweh, King of Kings. They were hiding out in fear. And Jesus walked in. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with this, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. If you don't forgive him, they're not forgiven. What kind of authority is that? As the Father has sent me, so Jesus is sending you. And then we read on in John chapter 17. He prays the same thing. Father, let them be in us as I am in you and you are in me. Let us be in them and them be in us so that the world might know. How will His name be glorified? How will His name be set apart as holy, as above all else, as the best, the most powerful, the greatest? Through His people. He's sending us. His name will continue to be glorified through us. When we pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, we are agreeing with everything that goes with that. We are agreeing, Lord God, do what I can't do. Bring your presence here. That presence that is for us. And that same presence that if I profane your name like Israel does, that you will take me out of all the bygone ways that I've fallen into, and you'll put me back on the right path, and you'll turn my heart of stone into a heart of flesh, and you'll put your laws in my heart because I've forgotten to read my Bible. And Lord, that you would do what needs to be done to make me a person that is like Jesus, making you famous. Come, Lord, be glorified, be hallowed, be lifted up in Jesus' name. God bless us all.